I'll read. I saw a story about the whales migrating this morning, so I'll read my whale poem. This poem it was printed in the New Yorker, and the New Yorker copy editor had a lot to say about the incorrect whale information in this poem. So this has passed the test of the copy editor. I provided evidence from the Point Reyes ranger station that whales do mate, where I was saying that they mated, even though there are plastic whales swimming around in this poem too, but they accepted it. They allowed me to mix my media if I got the whales mating correctly. A foghorn. I'm reading this for my father, who loves the Pacific. And whale season will start very soon. On Sundays in midwinter, when wild iris put their iridescent blades through the grasses and yellow lupin wait to flower from their seven-fingered hands, all the divorced Californians start out to the point with their bottled waters in their fragile foreign cars. They pass the turnoff for the hopeful murmur of beaches and pass the moody grays of cooperative farms, the cattle with their useful udders, the color of wild geranium. Then they park if they can and descend the long steps by the lighthouse, where the tough crimson algae cling to the broken stones, and when they arrive at the rail, they looked past the cormorants, past the farallons, to the space where the whales should be, and the split cord of the foghorn calls to them. The whales are too far to hear it. The whales, in their secrecy, give off the dull sheen of Etruscan mirrors. Down the coast they travel, and the twisted cypresses gather to look. They swim by L.A. with its nights of shining leather toward the temperate waters of Baja, where they will mate. In pictures, they are all smiles, sweet diligence, or the weak little smile of exhausted history. Their corrugated sides undulate as they play, moving in a time both linear and cyclical. They all swim here, Melville's whale and Jonah's, even the hollow plaster whale of Disney, for this is California. Surely the people crave some blankness between sightings, but someone spots one every few minutes, a heartbreaking flash, the cry goes out, each moment a contained unit. Then the cry passes, brief as a human life. They say this call is heard in all the great systems. The sleepy ones will gather at the shore to proclaim the glamour of the alien sun, while in the nearby desert, one real solitary arranges himself on a pile of fronds. "Come home," says the disembodied voice to all of them. But here on the point, the wind is fierce. It blows the people to the right as they pose for snapshots under the beehive-shaped Art Deco lantern, and the foghorn calls their two-toned names until the names sound interchangeable. Johnny, Mary, a major third downward, accent on the second syllable. The call goes out in reverse, away from them, over the hugely populated universe, as though it sent their questions out for them. What shall we be? What shall we do now? Divorced from our lives and from this century. And the land splits behind them, the conglomerate cliffs letting them go, letting the point slide toward Alaska. They wait as if at the prow of a fatherless ship leaning there. They have waited a long time. They are so used to waiting. They have waited for the winning number, or for the changes in someone, or for the nocturne to rewind itself around the spool. Shouldn't something have pity on them now? It is late. Pelicans and egrets and herons go by, and the foghorn continues its anthem of names, only for them, of course, only in this human realm.